All right, I got a few announcements for all of you. First, if you are a new student, let your leader know. They'll grab one of these cards for you. They know where to find them. And the next is, there you go. Always bring your Bible, always dress for the weather, and always bring a water bottle. Super important, guys. Hydrate or dehydrate. Like, I don't know, 70 at this point. All right, next announcement. Perfect. Small group night out is next week. So this is the last Wednesday that you get to talk to your leader and say, I want to do this, I want to go here, I want to do that, okay? So tonight is the night for you to do that. Take advantage of it. Let us know what you want to do. Leaders, if you know what your group already wants to do or you just know where you're going to be, throw it up on that board so that your spot does not get taken. That should be it. Let's move into the message. If you all pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for what you're doing at Timberwood Youth. I thank you for these students who who come here for you and come to be excited to be part of their groups and just have fun and feel connected. Thank you. In your name I pray, amen. Perfect. Right. So I got a little story for you guys, and I hope this tracks well. But here we go. Here's a story of an average student. This student did not stand out in any significant way. The family had a big yard to play in. The kids in the family would run around with their dogs and cats and spend many hours coming up with new things to entertain themselves with. To anyone looking in, this student had a good life with comfort and love in abundance. Yet, this student was troubled. You see, what most people were not aware of is this student was not able to connect with those around him. Try as he might, he was awkward and big. After braces and a few extra pounds were added, the name-calling began. First, the student tried to roll with it. He just wanted to fit in, and if everyone around him was enjoying themselves when they were making fun of him, he could at least try to join in with self-deprecating humor. This went on for some time. The student developed into the class clown. He was truly passionate about other things, and yet, he found by forcing milk through his nose and being a smart aleck, he was able to draw seemingly positive attention. As the student got older and entered high school, they became more anxious and fearful of those around them. The particular school our student attended was for grades kindergarten to 12th grade. No matter what he did to appear more mature, the label of class clown remained with him. In an effort to reimagine himself, he tried to lean harder on basketball. He was tall, and his father strongly encouraged him to continue playing in high school. After a season in high school, it really didn't work out. He got tired of his teammates. He tried football and had a similar experience with them. The student moved on and tried other things like one-act plays, speech, musicals, and he even tried exploring his creativity in the art department. Still, nothing stuck. He began feeling like a wanderer, certain he had nowhere to fit in. He became even more frustrated and anxious. School became boring, friends were sparse, and every movement of the minute and hour hands was aggravating to this student. He could not wait to hear the final bell. Other passions came in his life, like soccer and ping pong. There was interest in video games, popular TV shows, movies, and even board games. He tried to be interesting by paying closer attention to what those around him did, none of which provided a sense of belonging. None of the other students were all that interesting when no one wanted to participate in such activities with him. Feel a little familiar? So tonight we're in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and 13. And you can actually close your Bibles and put them to your side because we're just going to do this as story style. So in chapter 12, Moses is talking to the Israelites. And what Moses has to say to the Israelites is this. When you go into the land of Israel and you're going to see a lot of altars to other gods, Moses tells them, God wants you to destroy those altars. God wants you to find every place of worship that was used for false idols from people from other countries who had no relationship with God, and he wanted them removed completely from Israel. The same went for the people. See, it was God's idea, his concept, right? And this gets a little challenging for us when we read. God viewed those who came into Israel and tried to change the Israelites and tried to get them to worship false gods as a sort of cancer. These are people who are coming in and trying to distract the Israelites from worshiping God. Now, in the story thus far that we have read in Deuteronomy, Moses tells us multiple times of how the Israelites by themselves at Mount Sinai would worship false idols. And they took gold that was meant for a purpose that God intended, and they put that gold towards building an idol and worshiping that idol. So this was an act on the Israelites' part by themselves without any other influences. And so you can imagine how God views these people coming in, trying to add to the temptations that the Israelites were facing. And that's kind of how we got to frame this. What we need to get out of this first section is that God does not want you to allow yourself to be tempted. He wants you to remove yourself from every temptation that takes away from your ability to love God. He wants you to set aside time. Now, another interesting part about chapter 12 that we talk about is that Moses says, do not worship God at any of these altars that were made for false idols. Well, why do we think that is? My answer is that these areas, these altars, these places of worship were meant for other gods. And it takes no effort whatsoever on the Israelites' effort to just worship God there. But it takes a significant amount of effort to remove those altars because they were to false gods and to build their own altars. And that is what God wanted to see. He wanted to see a people that were set apart for him. He wanted to see a people who were so in love with him that they're like, hey, all of these altars are reminders that humanity is not choosing God. And that's painful for God because he wants all of us. And so instead, they needed to be removed for the sake of the Israelites to continue to be invested in God. And then we move on through chapter 12, and we get into the section that talks about meat. How many of you love a good, like, steak, right? Like, medium rare. Delicious. So in this section, it says, don't eat the blood of an animal. Well, what does that have to do with idol worship? Well, I'll let you know. The blood was meant for idol worship as well. What people would do, the Israelites did this with false idols, and other countries did this when they worshiped false gods. And what they did is they took that blood and they poured it on the fire in honor of false gods. And so what God is saying is, hey, here's a practice that happened before that I do not want you to do. So God says, when you build an altar to me, take that blood and pour it on my fire. Honor me with the life. Honor me with the food. Honor me with what I gave you. And then he continues. Well, the people are like, okay, that sounds great, but there's a limited number of altars in a limited area. So then what happens is the Israelites say to Moses, hey, what do we do when we can't pour the blood on the fire? What do we do when we can't pour the blood on an altar? Well, God says, okay, I got this. See, it's not about just putting blood on the altar. What he says is, okay, then throw the blood on the ground. It's the same thing. Get rid of this object that gives you the ability to be distracted by God. If you can't throw it on the fire, if you can't honor God with it, then don't use it. That is the message here. That is how they tie together. Now, let me say that again. If there's a temptation in your life that does not honor God, then be rid of it. If you got something going on in your life that you cannot come to God and be your best because you're hanging on to it, cast it aside. That is what Moses is trying to get across. And then Moses moves on in chapter 13. He talks about these false prophets. And he says, in addition to what we just talked about, I'm going to warn you, there will be people who come into your town and can perform miracles. There will be people who come to you and they are able to do miraculous things. And if they say to you, hey, let's go worship another god, you need to separate yourself from them completely. And then he says, if your family comes to you and your family tells you, hey, try to worship a different god, be rid of them completely. And then Moses says, hey, by the way, if your friends come to you, your close friends who've been friends for many, many years, and they try to say to you, let's get distracted, let's lose focus, same response, let's be rid of them. Moses' entire focus here from his experience is to get the Israelites to understand that they need a relationship with God. They need to be interested in who God is because God is very interested in them. We need to be very interested in God. And we need to desire God. And the reason why is because God loves us. God loves you. And so you remember that story I read about the kid who's really awkward and gained some weight, got some braces? Yeah, that kid was me. The kid who could not fit in, the kid who could not find a place where he belonged, who did everything he could to stand out, was me. I found myself in every activity you could possibly imagine, trying to get people to take some interest in me, to give me a sense of belonging. And try as I might, I found nothing. And so what do we do with that? Well, my story was that I found God. My story was that I had a youth pastor who was incredibly, incredibly loving and caring. In a very small church with a youth group no more than 15. And that man poured out his soul to us. And he taught us that our identity, our importance, does not lay with what other people think of us. Our identity, our purpose, lies within what God tells us. And so I started developing a love for God. I started having a relationship with God. I started growing my confidence in who I am to the point that I can stand before you today and say, this is who I am. A word that was constantly thrown at me when I was your age was that I was immature. Anybody ever hear that? Right. That I'm just weird, that I'm strange, that I just talk about Jesus too much, or way too interested in a video game, spend way too much time on the computer. When those labels hit me over and over and over, I started to think that was all I was. That was the consistent message that I got. So I thank God today that somebody found my soul and they started to teach me that it was loved and cared for. And that's what I want you guys to grasp tonight. That whatever it is in your life that's preventing you from focusing on God, ditch it. Because you'll be much, much happier. Dial in. Get excited. Fall in love with the person who gave his everything for you. Because there's nobody else or nothing else that will be satisfying. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for these students. And I just want to pray over them the consistent message that Moses gave us, that you love us, that you're willing to meet us, and you're willing to help us along the way. I ask that if there's a single student here struggling with this sense of identity, the sense of how do they fit in, that they have peace tonight. That they know that their place is within your hands and within your arms. In your name I pray, amen. Thanks, guys.